For a year, today's guest swooned over her gorgeous guy, loved holding onto his arm, enjoyed the attention he gave her until she noticed him degrading her, twisting her mind. He made her feel like she was crazy. Have you ever felt like you were going insane with your guy? She learned some hard lessons and discovered the one key that saves her now. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today we meet Kelly Cochran. After her divorce, she was vulnerable and overlooked some of her new guy's behavior. Within a year, she was sucked into a narcissistic relationship, struggling to get out. She reveals clear steps how she pulled herself out and reclaimed her true self. What will you take away from her journey to transformation and becoming valuable? We're going to talk with Kelly in a moment, and first, there are 11 pillars to take you from vulnerable to valuable. Listen to episode 1 or 2 to hear the full list of the 11 pillars of freedom fulfillment. Tapping in today to 2 of the topics covered in today's podcast, I'm going to share with you 2 of the key pillars today because they both are important and they relate to what is covered in today's podcast. So I'm going to go over 3, knowing what's important to you, and 11, setting boundaries. And you'll hear how my guest today, how she had to learn these 2 pillars to be able to shift from vulnerable to valuable. Now, first, let me say that you cannot live your life fully until you know what is important to you. And it's like, oh, that seems kind of obvious, but is it really? It means you must know your values. Otherwise, you end up living the values set by somebody else. You live the life they want, not the life you want, and that serves you. Now, if you're like me, I'm just telling it like it is, I had no awareness of my values. I had never looked at them. Never. Married 25 years, worked, never looked at my values. I picked up values along my life. I'm like, from my parents, religion, society, school, friends, probably the movies, news, other experiences. I mean, I just picked up values like I was picking up seashells along the shore until I had a collection. Collection that didn't always go together. So were my values still valid? Were my values still valid? What do I want? Me. What's important to me? And this is not about being selfish or egotistical when I say me. This is like really looking at yourself, really looking at yourself. So step 1 is identifying your values. Step 2 is now challenging them. Are they truly your values? Or, like I said, are they someone else's values you picked up but aren't really true for you? Maybe you just kind of put it out there because you're not thinking about it. I want you to challenge yourself. So for that, for this pillar, just start with these 2 steps. This is a process I take my clients through. So I'm going to do this baby step with you first because it's so important. And the course, there's so much more to the value assessment. You'll need to learn how to incorporate your values into your life. This is a key one. It's not enough just to know what they are. The other pillar I want to share with you is pillar 11, and that has to do with honoring yourself. or another word is boundaries. And when you hear the word boundaries, what comes to your mind? Something you have to do to protect yourself, to keep bad people and experiences away from you. If you're like a lot of others, you just end up putting a wall around your heart. You keep out both the toxic and the good, kind, nice, thoughtful, respectful people, except you don't realize it. Boundaries is not about protecting yourself. If you lead with that energy, you'll be pushing everybody away. Rather, boundaries is about teaching others how you want to be treated. Teaching others how you want to be treated. You are in charge. And you cannot teach others how you want to be treated unless you know and fully incorporate your values. So you see how they go together? Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay. I just want to give this to you in pieces. Let this sink in. I know this definition might is a twist from how others may say it. When you do it this way, though, you honor yourself and you honor others. These are the steps to empowerment and your freedom fulfillment. It's a win-win. And it's always good when it's a win-win. Okay, so that's your lesson for today. If you want to know where you are on this path, take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, my gift to you. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are and where you want to be. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. You can find this link and all other links mentioned in the show notes. Kelly will be here in a moment, and first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to reach and impact 100 million women worldwide who have been affected by narcissistic relationships and domestic abuse. Our goal is to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to the loud and proud Kelly Cochran, a dynamic, fun mover and shaker who shook off her narcissist and shows up more powerful than ever. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Kelly. Welcome. I am so thrilled to have you, Kelly, here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to first let listeners know a little bit about your background before I start asking you questions about what else is so amazing about you and how you've done so many amazing things in your life, and even when you've had some dips and how you turned it around. So, affectionately known as the Loud Blonde, and you're going to know what that means a little bit later, by friends and fans, Kelly is a professional motivator who empowers women to fearlessly pursue a life of unlimited potential. Kelly spent 15 years in corporate marketing, practicing SEO, branding strategy, and project management. Tired of slamming her head on that glass ceiling, Kelly ditched the cubicle for good in 2017. Named a female trailblazer by San Diego Voyager magazine and top 20 on the rise winner for marketing. Kelly teaches women how to get unstuck in life and business through her successful marketing and mindset coaching. Kelly's first book, Loud, Silence Your Critics and Turn Up the Volume on Your Life, launched as a number one Amazon bestseller in late 2019. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And welcome again. I'm so excited.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's funny because you just go about your day-to-day life and day-to-day work. And I'm like, oh yeah, I have accomplished quite a bit since I left corporate America just 2.5 short years ago. So I like that. Thanks for reading that back.
You're absolutely welcome. I feel the same. So tell us a little bit more. Have our listeners know a little bit more what you're doing and what kind of a life that you've created for yourself now.
Sure. So right now I am working as a high performance coach, really helping driven type A women like myself find more out of life. And how I got to that place was when I got fired from my last job in corporate America, which was not the first time I got fired for being a loud, outspoken female in corporate. The last time I got fired was May 2017. And I just heard this voice of God, goddess, spirit, whatever you believe in, on my drive home from that job, you know, with my cardboard box, with my post-its and pens in the back of my car. And the universe just said, how many more times do we have to do this until you realize you are meant for more? And so I didn't really know what that meant. And so, of course, you know, my background was marketing. And so I forged out into this freelance world of offering my marketing services to different corporations and companies. And I was building all these beautiful websites for female entrepreneurs and small businesses and still working with corporations. And I really realized that I was building all these wonderful websites for women who then didn't have the mindset to go out and become a successful business owner. And so that was the missing piece that I really figured out these last 6 months was what my clients were really needing that I wasn't offering. And so now through my high performance coaching, I do still a lot of marketing, but also that missing mindset piece of how do you get over imposter syndrome? How do you find clients? How do you figure out who you're trying to help, what your purpose is in the world? And so, yeah, that's just what I've been on this mission to do, and just to help women find their, what I call their loudest inner voice and speak their truth at the highest volume.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And isn't it surprising how many times you probably heard your message, but you just had to get knocked a little bit harder and a little bit harder until, like, okay, I'm pushing you out of this job because you are so much more than that.
Oh yeah. I joke all the time with my clients. It's like the, you know, you trip over a pebble, you kind of don't notice it. You trip over a little bigger rock, you don't notice it until you slam headfirst into the boulder. That's the universe telling you, hey, dummy, go a different direction. I've had quite a few of those head smacks on a boulder in my life. And it's funny, once you start really tuning into your intuition and listening to those little messages, you start hearing them faster, which is a lot less painful. If you can pivot faster, it's easier on everyone.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And we'll just keep getting those reminders and everything else. It's all okay. It's all okay. Everyone has their own journey. And sometimes we need to hear the knock a little bit louder because we're not fully aware of it. And one of the things I know you probably weren't really fully aware of is when you got into this particular relationship, you got into or had an experience, I don't want to say got into, but you had an experience with a relationship that wasn't quite as pleasant. And it took a few knocks before you got out of that. You know, what was it? How long were you in it? And the impact it had to you?
Sure. So, oh gosh, it's been a few years ago now. After my divorce, if anyone's been divorced who's listening to this podcast, which I'm sure a lot of listeners have been, you kind of have this newfound sense of like freedom and, oh my gosh, Stella's got her groove back. I'm going to go kiss a bunch of frogs and figure out what it is to be single again. And you know, I did all that. And then I went on this date with this man who was just gorgeous and was really filling this sensual need and sexual need and self-esteem need for me. And so I overlooked a lot of behavior that was actually chipping away at my self-esteem, because with him on my arm, I felt like, oh, okay, I must be worthy because he's so good looking and he wants to have sex with me and he, you know, is with me and choosing me. But at the same time, he turned out to be this narcissist, which I did a lot of research after this year of dating him. And, you know, he just consistently chipped away at my self-esteem throughout this year that we dated on and off, and would make me question his loyalty or threaten his loyalty. He was insanely jealous. And it turns out that he had been cheating on me, but instead he would spin it around and practice gaslighting behavior, which, if the listeners don't know, gaslighting is where someone makes their partner feel crazy and they flip the script on you. So if you're angry at your partner for something, they actually turn it around to where they're the victim and they're all of a sudden angry at you and you're the perpetrator. And it makes you feel insane. There was one night where my sister was in town and he was out with us at a restaurant and he left to go do drugs with his friend. And drugs have always been a hard no for anyone I've ever dated. I've never done drugs. That's a hard no for me. And he went off with his friend and this was his first time meeting my sister. And by the end of the night, he had the situation turned around on me where I was the bad guy for letting everyone else know that he had been off doing this and painting him as this bad guy. And it made me feel absolutely insane. And it took a long time to get over all of these little chips that he took out of my armor. I just felt like I was a shell of a person after that relationship finally exploded. So yeah, it was awful.
That's so interesting because I was married and with my narcissist for 25 years. But how you are describing it is exactly the same. It chipped away everything. And so after all those years, I was just a shell. So you felt that shell. And I want the listeners to understand how quickly this can happen. And it has nothing to do with you, right? It has nothing to do with you. But as you were going through this and you had these doubts, but we made excuses for them, right? That's the MO that women have a tendency to do. We hear them, we feel them. It's like, well, but he's this, and but he's that. And then the whole time is that we're allowing him to diminish us, not even knowing that. We just feel it. Sometimes we just feel it. It's off, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I would make excuses all the time. Oh, he's foreign, so maybe it's just a translation issue. But in your gut, you can feel that it's not right, that something's off. Even if you can't put a finger on what it is, you know something's off. And like, I never really wanted to introduce him to my family. And that should have been a big red flag for me right there, because my family's a blast and anybody I'm dating would be lucky to hang out with my family. And I just never wanted him around them. Mm-hmm. And then when that happened with my sister, I was like, wow, should have listened to my gut. So yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's really good. And now you've learned all these lessons. So what are some of the values that you had, or maybe new values that you created in now when you look for a new relationship?
So I get really good now at listening to my intuition, at listening to my gut. And I talk a lot about this in my book. I talk a lot about this on blog posts, on videos. I feel like women, we are trained to be polite. We are trained that if we are on an elevator alone and some creepy looking guy goes to get in the elevator, we stay on the elevator and we make small talk instead of listening to the alarm bells going off in our head saying, maybe get off the elevator and take the stairs. And I don't know why we do this as women. It's like, we always have to be polite. We always have to be nice. God forbid someone thinks we're being rude, but it's like we have this thing against our own self-preservation. And so I've gotten really good at listening to those alarm bells. And same thing with my marriage. You know, 30 days before I walked down the aisle, I had a total panic attack in a bridal store dressing room. And I knew so deep in my gut that I should not marry this person. But then all the Catholic guilt came in, talked to my mom. It's like, well, we've already paid all these deposits. Everyone already has their hotels and flights booked. And so I listened to all the other people around me instead of listening to my own instincts, which I just feel like as women, we have to get better at being our own judge. Why do we need everyone else's opinions to be the end all be all? Why can't we trust our own instincts? It's just it's this thing with us, you know?
I agree. So what are some steps? Can you give the listeners some concrete steps of how to trust yourself better, or maybe the steps that you took, or how to improve that, the intuition, your own intuition, GPS, to really know, is it intuition? Am I just being overreactive? All these things, we start to doubt ourselves. And so like, am I right to doubt myself, or am I just just overreacting, or is this really intuition? How do you balance that out? Plus, I'm going to kind of stack this up because you're talking about you work with high-powered women, and I know a lot of us are really driven. A lot of us are left-brained. A lot of us haven't developed that other side. I mean, I'm pretty balanced, but I wasn't in the beginning, right? So we have this weakness. There's like, besides being groomed to be polite, when you're also working and working in a man's world, you have that thinking. It's like, well, I don't know how to work it. So if you can give some steps how you developed the intuition and mastered that.
Those are great questions. So I think to address the first part of that question, you need to know your values. If you don't know your personal values, then you have no boundaries. So if you don't know what is right and wrong in your own sense of self, then everything's okay. And so if your value isn't that someone doesn't do drugs in your relationship, and so someone brings drugs into your house, well, you can't really complain about that because you never set up that boundary because you didn't know that value. And so I would say, and actually this leads into the second part of your question too, is just spending more time on self-awareness. I found that meditation and journaling are huge, and I've been doing them so consistently over the past 3 years. And I know myself and my values and my boundaries to a T. You could say this or that, and I will say one or the other without hesitation because I know exactly where my boundaries lie. And I feel like a lot of women have never stopped to think about what their personal values are. You know, if they're a mom, they have values of how they want to raise their kids. But how do they want to act as a woman? How do they want to act as a wife, as a girlfriend, as a friend, as a boss, as an employee? Have you ever stopped to think about what your values are around all your relationships in your life? Because if you don't have those boundaries set, then again, and anything's free game. So I would say really thinking about what your values are is number one. Mm-hmm. And then coming out of your head and more into your heart. Being a high-powered woman in corporate America, it takes a lot of left-brain thinking. You have to, you know, put your suit and tie on, act like the men, be part of the good old boys club. Mm-hmm. But we have something that men don't, and it is this gut intuition. And I feel like the best leaders, the best female leaders, tune into that gut intuition, and they're the ones who have employees who will walk through fire for them because they see them as humans. They know what makes them tick. They know their kids' names, their spouse's names, what they're going through at home. It's when you embrace that feminine and masculine side in the workplace, I think that makes you such a more valuable boss, such a more valuable employee. And I think it's really interesting in this time when we're recording this podcast is we're going through this quarantine for coronavirus. It's this bizarre time that we've never had before where everyone's forced to have more family time, connect more with what's actually important and what's valuable. And we've gotten off this hamster wheel of just it's work, 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 work until we die or drop dead of a heart attack. And so I think it's really interesting that the universe has hit this reset button for all of us, whether we were ready for it or not, and said, slow down, get out of your head, move into your heart, figure out what's actually important in life and focus on that. And everyone has to do it right now. And it's amazing.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I just did a Facebook Live on the exact same topic. And one thing I want to also add is that if we step back and we think the whole world is getting together on this, we're uniting, even though everyone's going a little bit crazy. But if you look at it in a much bigger and global vision, it's like we're all getting together. And we're going to do just like what you said, we're going to start to reconnect with ourselves and our heart and seeing what's really important. So I think that's absolutely fabulous what you shared. I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them.
including asking for the sale. We're back with Kelly Cochran, professional motivator and female trailblazer.
When I got married, I didn't know my values, and values, it was not even in my line of vision. And I had no vision of my life.
Same.
I had no vision of my life. So were you like that? Did you have before maybe your marriage or this other relationship, did you have a vision of what your life would be? And then now, do you have a vision? I have a clear vision of my life, and I'm living my vision. So I want to hear yours.
It's so funny that you bring that up. I had no idea who I wanted to be when I grew up, what I was going to do with my life. And I think that was my problem. That caused a lot of strife for me in my 20s, was because I felt like a lot of my friends had it so put together, like right after college, they were getting these amazing jobs and they were going to be a stockbroker or this or that or the other thing. And all I wanted to do was travel around Europe and backpack around Europe. That's all I ever wanted to do. I mean, I still kind of just want to do that. But I did not figure out what my purpose was and why I'm on this planet until about a year ago. And I just turned 40. So anyone listening, if you haven't figured it out yet, you're okay. You're okay. You don't have to, I hate those lists. It's like top 20 under, you know, or top 30 under 30 or whatever. It's like, oh, for God's sake, people in their 20s don't know what they're doing. Like, I had no clue. So yeah, when I got proposed to, it was just such a shock because I had never really thought about getting married. I kind of knew I never wanted kids, but I had never really been one to, you know, rip out pages in a bridal magazine and make a notebook and store it under my bed until the right person came along. I was not that girl. Yeah. And so when I was proposed to, I was kind of like, oh, well, this is exciting, but I just like didn't really. And then planning the wedding was just like this train that left the station so fast. And all of a sudden I was on it and don't even remember buying a ticket. And it was just this whirlwind. And I remember this phone call in the middle of wedding planning with my mom. And she called me and she said, oh, hey, you know, your reception venue wants to know what color of napkins you want on the tables. And I'm like, what color of what? And she's like, napkins. And I was like, I have to choose that? She goes, well, yeah, they have white and ecru and ivory and off-white and champagne. I'm like, those all sound like white. She goes, okay, white it is. Thanks. And hung up on me because I couldn't make one more inane decision about this party that I never really wanted to have. And so by the time I got into my marriage, it was just like, oh, I didn't really think of not only who I wanted to be in marriage or as a wife, but I didn't have an idea of who I wanted as a husband. It was like this boyfriend I had, we had had a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden we were getting married and that just seemed like the next logical thing because we were in our late 20s and everyone else was doing it. But then all of a sudden, now what? And now I'm living with someone who I didn't really know because I was trying to be a good Catholic girl and not live together before we got married. And of course, once you live together, you realize there's a lot of things that maybe you didn't know about that person. And so yeah, it fell apart pretty quickly after that. But yeah, I had no vision for my life. And now, you know, just like you said, I am so crystal clear on who I am, who I'm helping, and why I'm on this planet. And again, it comes back to my values create my boundaries. And I know exactly what my values are. I know exactly why I'm here. I know exactly who I'm helping. If you don't align with that vision, or especially if you give me a vibration that in my body I feel is a hard no, oh, it's not even a question. Goodbye. Nice meeting you. You don't need to be in my space.
Yeah, you bring up a couple good points too from your one is like as you were sharing your story here, it was all about self-awareness, wasn't it? Which you talked about earlier, right? Which we know what it is. We're just like moving through life, we're reacting to it, not really taking control of it, not really taking the lead, not control, but leading our lives. We're just like, okay, like you said, oh, he proposed to me. Oh, that sounds really cool, right? But how many of us do that, right? I fall into that, into many, many categories as well. And to then to make that shift, and now you know in any kind of relationship you're going to be in, you're so aware of who you are. And once you get there, it's such a huge difference, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it also helps when you are so clear about who you are. When you start dating someone in the beginning, if they start pushing back on who you are and start kind of trying to change your personality, if you don't have clear boundaries and clear values or a clear sense of self, you'll let someone else kind of try to mold you in their vision, and that never works out. And honestly, that's what happens in a lot of marriages, because you get into it early, you keep trying to mold each other as you go along year after year after year. And then all of a sudden you're 10, 20 years into the relationship going, oh, this person was never what I wanted. Now I know what I want. And now we're getting a divorce after this long. Whereas if you come in as two whole people who know who they are, it's really fast that you can see if you are puzzle pieces that are going to fit or if you're not going to be a fit. Like, I just laugh when guys try to change my mind about stuff now. I'm like, oh, honey, I've been on this planet too long for you to think you're going to change me. That's real sweet, though. Good luck with the next one. Maybe try a 20-year-old.
And I think it's good. A lot of women will tell me, oh, my gosh, Rose, you know, you give me hope that I can find somebody. Because I told you I was in a long marriage for a lot of reasons. I couldn't get out. I lived overseas and I had to engineer this international escape to get out, got out, and now rebuilding my life and with the love of my life. And when I was getting ready to, when I was planning the escape, I had told myself, I deserve a happy and joyful life.
Oh, I love that.
And it has been that leading vision. So it wasn't a specificity of something. It wasn't a purpose. It was that that's how I want to lead my life. And I have it.
I know. I love seeing that. For those of you just listening, she has a giant joy sign behind her and I love it.
And it's like, oh my gosh. So there, we're giving these women hope and ways to get to it. You know, you were very clear on the different kinds of steps that you, that they can start to tap into themselves and how important it is to be self-aware. And I think those, if they can just do those things, I want to ask you, throughout this journey of self-awareness, what were some of the, I'm going to just assume, some of the steps of self-forgiveness, self-kindness, self-care that you went on to kind of support you on this process?
Ooh, that's a heavy question. I think I definitely had to, I've had to forgive myself for leaving. My last relationship was very healthy. I found out he was going to propose and I just, again, I knew in my gut, it wasn't right. And he is still the kindest, most wonderful man on the planet. He's just not the man for me. And it was a 4-year relationship and we had a wonderful time. And oh man, if that had happened 10 years earlier, I'd be married to him right now and miserable. And thank God I've gone through what I have and I've gotten really attuned to that really small voice inside my gut. It has just gotten louder and louder over the years to where I can hear it now without trying. And it was screaming at me, don't do it. And so
that is so beautiful because I wanted to stop here. So they really take notice of this because this guy was kind. He fit the bill. And even though he fit the bill, he was kind with you. He listened to you. He supported you. Yet it still didn't feel right. And it's still the right decision to not say yes or to say yes to yourself. I want to say yes to yourself. And no to that relationship that wasn't feeling right. That is so important because it's so easy. Well, oh my gosh, you found a kind man. You know, Rosie, you're always talking about, you know, kindness and being with the kind person. And but it doesn't mean that I've been with other kind men when I knew they weren't the right ones either.
Right.
So good for you for listening to yourself.
Well, and at that point too, the kindest thing I could have done was let him go. And it didn't feel like it at the time. It was so brutally painful. I know I just devastated him and his family, but I just, after being through my divorce, I just knew I couldn't put him through a marriage and then subsequent divorce when I wasn't feeling it just going in. And I was like, I know this is going to crush him for the next couple months, maybe even a year, but I have to let him go and find the person he's supposed to be with because it's not me. And it was so, so hard. So I've had to do a lot of forgiveness. I have to laugh though. I have a group coaching program and their assignment this week was to write their own, we call it the manifestation statement. So their assignment was to write down all of the qualities. One of my girls is going through a pretty devastating end of an engagement right now. And so we all did this exercise and I did too, write down all of the qualities. I said, as many as you can. It's not 100 isn't too many. As many qualities as you can. What are you looking for in the perfect romantic partner? And so she was laughing that she wrote 100. She's like, oh my gosh, I think I'm getting a little too specific. And I was like, no, that's great. You know, you want to get it all out there because the universe has to know what to bring you. You have to be really clear. But then I did the exercise too. And I was dying laughing because it reads like my ex-boyfriend's bio, basically. And I was like, oh, come on. But then, you know, I had to laugh and I had to say, but I know why it wasn't a fit. And even though on paper, he's going to be just an amazing husband and father for somebody else, he just wasn't that person for me. And so again, it's spending time to the second part of your question is, I just think this time right now, this universal reset that we're having right now is such an amazing time to not have an excuse to overschedule yourself. I think so many women hide from doing self-work. And now you don't have an excuse to hide because you're literally alone by yourself all day, or even, you know, with your kids or spouse or whatever, but you have time to pour yourself a bubble bath and just sit and be quiet with yourself, or get out a journal and make yourself a cup of tea and just sit and free write and see what comes out, or listen to your favorite, you know, music, or rock out, or have a dance party, or do visualizations or meditations. Like, get to know yourself. I've been taking a lot of long walks without any music and just being in nature, being out in my neighborhood, just noticing fun and funky things in my neighborhood that I would never notice when I'm driving around because I'm in my head, I'm listening to, you know, NPR or a podcast or what have you. But now I'm just going for walks and just being in the quiet. I think so many of us hide from the quiet because we're scared of what we're gonna find inside when we get quiet. But I think that's where the gold nuggets lie. That's where my business has come out of. That's how I heard my calling for my purpose was when I got still and quiet. And I think this time that we're in right now is no better time to really enjoy that and take advantage of it before life gets back to its crazy pace again.
Well, maybe that will be the new reset. We're going to be creating a new normal. That's what I think. You know, this is now we're not going to go back. Anytime there's a big shift in your life, just like you and me, you know, I didn't go back to the old me.
Right.
I created a new me, a much better, a new improved.
Yes, I love that. This is your chance, everyone. Create the new and improved you.
Yes, exactly. So speaking of the new improved you, how can our listeners learn more about you?
So my website is loudblonde.com. And if you'd like to start reading my book for free, they can download the first 3 chapters of Loud, Silence Your Critics, and Turn Up the Volume on Your Life, number 1 Amazon bestseller, at loudblonde.com/book.
Oh, beautiful. That's exciting. Well, I'm going to do that. And our final question, what does love is kind mean to you?
Love is kind means 2 things. It means being kind to yourself, forgiving yourself when you make a decision that maybe wasn't the best or wasn't the kindest thing that you could have done. For example, you know, ending that relationship for me at the time didn't feel like the kindest choice, but I've forgiven myself because I knew that was the right decision. And then, so being kind to yourself and also especially in this time, just, you know, how can we give our gifts to one another just for free and generously right now? How can we just spread love and kindness instead of hoarding toilet paper, instead of, you know, being crazy and spinning into panic and chaos? How can we just emanate that universal love? And how can we connect on a universal plane right now with each other and support each other and lift each other up right now?
Well, I love that. And I also love what you wrote to me. So I'm going to share that as well, because she's got, this is what I love about this phrase, is that it has so many variations on a theme. So this is something else that you wrote when you shared it with me. And I'm going to share that because it was fabulous. This goes, love is kind means that there is never a time when you are in a loving, healthy relationship that you should feel afraid. Love should feel 100% supportive and safe. You should not feel like you need to walk on eggshells or spin truths or hide interactions from your loved one because you are afraid of their overreaction. That was really beautiful, Kelly. And I wanted our listeners to hear that one as well. And all the variations of what love is kind really mean. It's all of it.
It's all of it.
Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been absolutely fabulous. I'm so glad we were introduced. I'm so glad you came on and shared all of your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.